This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
BT and Sal back on the fan. That was one of the wildest commercial breaks that we've had in
That was outstanding. That's like one of the few times I didn't want, usually I want the commercial breaks to end so we can get back to the show. I wanted that to keep going.
Oh,
that
you
was
started it.
Here.
You started.
Well,
I took the ball from you.
Basically, put it this way, four men voicing complaints. Yeah. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, did you aerate your lawn this morning?
Aerating lawn. Did you fix me my meatballs from this guy? Guy's playing video games at 9:20. He's getting paraded. it was just... It's been a tough few days for us, all of us.
Right.
We didn't even do anything wrong. That's the crazy part.
No, we're just working. All you guys hear the story, you hear us when we work, we have some fun, but then, I'm driving home yesterday, I'm dealing with the traffic, and my wife calls, and I'm like, what? I just want to listen to the music or Luigi. I'm listening to Luigi.
Don't answer the phone. Hit the red button. Not there.
Maybe something's going on, whatever. Yeah. So she's like, hey, can you do me a favor? I'm like, yeah, what? Can you pick up? I forgot my jacket in the car, so on your way up, can you? Okay, no problem. Oh, and also, the dog's bowl is empty. We got his dry food in a bin or whatever. The bin's empty, and it's a heavy bag. So understood. She's like, I didn't feed Maddox either because, you got to empty the bin. I asked you yesterday, and you forgot about it. I'm like, all right, I'll do it. And then I get in, and I'm like, I'm aggravated because now I come in, and I want to go. When I get home, I want to eat. I want to get undressed, relax, throw on whatever game. Rangers were last night, whatever. But just chill, even just chill with my wife and watch a show. Get undressed, eat something. And then I got all these chores to do before I could eat. So now she sees that I'm upset as I'm making Maddox the food, and I'm like, slamming the bag down or throwing it in the bowl forcefully. It's like, why are you ticked off that you got to feed him? I'm like, I'm not aggravated that I got to feed him. But being that I have to feed him, could you have heated me up some dinner? I mean, what am I going to eat? I mean, you're worried about your coat, the dog. The table's empty here.
Oh, man.
And she got the message because she did heat up. Mm-hmm. We had some chicken meatballs. I was like, well, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying?
Did she sit there and eat with you while you ate, or did she just give them to you and then she left? Which is the nugget. Can I tell you what drives me? That's hysterical. Where's my food? You know what drives me nuts? I don't think I've ever done this once in my life, and I think my wife has done it 1,375 times. Can you call my phone? How do you lose your phone so much? I never lose my phone. Where's my phone? I don't know. Where'd you put it? We don't live in a mansion. Where is it? Is it in your car? Is it in your office? I mean, is it down in the workout room? Where is it? And it's such a little thing. You should see my face when she says, could you call my... Because I just go like this. I go... It shouldn't bother me, but it's almost every day.
Oh, that is tremendous. And then Hoff had... What were your issues, Hoff?
Tell Hoff later.
I got in trouble for playing video games with Anthony till 9:20 at night. And dude, I got that same situation with that's not the phone. She has a watch. She goes, "Can you get me my watch from upstairs in the room?" So I went upstairs, got her a watch. No, that's not the one. I want my black one.
Oh God,
I couldn't find it. It took me a half hour. I still couldn't find it.
How many watches does she have?
I like three. I found two.
but I couldn't find the one she wanted.
Oh, my God.
By the way, BT, you do have to aerate your lawn in the winter?
That was the start of it, man.
But I'm saying, like, is that actually a thing?
Well,
or
you
no?
should, because what happens, you know what it looks like when you aerate. So you basically.
You don't do it yourself, though.
No, I actually don't. I never have. I'm not that I'm above it. Like, right. I actually thought about maybe renting an aeration machine and doing it. Like,
really?
I definitely take care of the grass. Like, I have people cut it.
Yeah.
But when you aerate it, it basically pulls out these. I don't know, kind of looks like a thick golf tee, like these little clumps of dirt, and then they overseeded, and then obviously nutrients and oxygen could get beneath the surface, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I thought you'd do that in like March
You
or
do
something.
It in the fall, or you do it early spring. So right now the window we just missed. Well, we missed the window because of... You know, the other thing that drives me nuts, too...
And you love your grass, man.
I know.
That's like my only. I don't buy myself anything. Can I have nice grass? The other thing that drives me nuts too. I guess this is grievance day. It's gonna be even worse when I get home. She's hearing this. She'll say, "Can you grab my purse?" Right? Sure. I don't mind grabbing your purse. I mean, you can get it, but I mean, sure. Yes, I'll get it. Of course, I'll get it. And I'll come in and I'll grab the pocketbook by accident. She's like, "This is the pocketbook. What's the effing difference?" You put it over your shoulder. It's got a can. It's got money in it.
Pocket
What's the difference?
Purse. Who knows what the difference is?
I don't. Yeah. I still don't.
Hey, you want it? You get it. How about that? BT, now I'm not going to have any dinner tonight, period. We're all in trouble tonight. BT and Sal on the Fan. Back to the Soto stuff. We were talking about this before, though. I don't know if we mentioned it yesterday or just earlier during the break. And we'll take your calls, 888-808-1019. He met with the Red Sox, right? The Red Sox, potentially a real player here. Would it bother
you? By the way, you think they're a real player.
I know it's reported that they are. Before we continue,
you think that they are?
Let me put it this way. I think the Red Sox are more legit than the Blue Jays.
I would probably agree with that.
I don't know if that's accurate or most people. This is my gut feel.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good instinct there. Okay, so the Red Sox, keep going.
No, Cora there maybe is appealing. The Red Sox have some money to play if they decide to spend. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's a storied franchise. It's East. I think Canada is just... I don't think Soto wants to play in Canada. I don't care how much money they get.
I mean, I wouldn't. Canada's beautiful, but there's just a lot of tax implications. It's just different. It's a different speed.
Right. So then I would think that they're more legit. Would it bother you more if Soto, from a Yankee fan perspective, would it bother you more if he went to the Red Sox or to the Mets?
Oh, if he went to the Mets or the Red Sox. You know, this is kind of a curveball answer. Neither. I think it would bother me more if he went to the Dodgers.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to the Dodgers. I think the Mets are more of a viable threat. I think Boston. I might even think Toronto's more than the Dodgers just based on what they want to spend. Even I don't think he's going to L.A. But, see, if he went to the Dodgers, why it would really bother me is because at that point you could officially say not only are they world champions, but the Dodgers are doing everything that the Yankees used to do. They got Ohtani. They traded for Betts. They signed Freeman. They got Yamamoto. They're probably going to get Sasaki, the right-handed pitcher.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, you throw Soto in there. It's like, oh, my God, this is what the Yankees. And not that I'm living from the top of the mountain if the Yankees don't get everybody. Like, I was really never that guy. But the middle of the road is okay.
Yeah, but that's what you're right. That's what the Yankees used to be.
That would bother me more if you went to the Dodgers.
And is it anything to do with the fact that you just feel like they'd be unbeatable? They're already unbeatable anyway.
No, it's more of a perception thing. Like, and by the way, they really would never beat them. But I mean, but it would just like, all right, the Mets would steal them from the Yankees, the Red Sox, the rivalry. All right, okay, maybe their next big poppy, whatever. All right, but the Dodgers, the Yankees used to be the Dodgers.
Yep. Yeah, and now. Maybe there's a new team in town.
The Phillies.
That would bother me. That actually would bother me more than if you stayed with the Yankees.
Okay.
Like, if you ask me the reverse, what would bother me more?
Most painful.
I think the Phillies would be number one.
All right. Who's number two?
It's gotta be the Dodgers.
Let's go. Oh.
No, because...
Come on,
no,
dude.
Because I don't think that it would... If he left the Yankees and didn't go to the Mets... That would bother me. If he stayed with the Yankees, like, there's a part of me that understands that. Like, imagine him leaving the Yankees and not going to the Mets. That's a bad look
for
the Mets.
I got you. So he was open-minded enough to leave, but you guys just weren't interesting enough. Yeah.
Yeah, that would bother me. So I would go Phillies one. Like, if he stays, of course it would annoy me just because the Mets don't get him.
Mm-hmm.
But Phillies one, Dodgers two, and if I had to just put another team in there, it would be the Yankees three. But the Yankees would not trump. It wouldn't bother me as much if he stayed with the Yankees as it would if he went to the Dodgers or Phillies.
I know these phones are hot, so we'll get right back to him in a sec. But what would bother you more, him leaving the Yankees and going to the Dodgers, as you just said, or him staying with the Yankees and the Mets not having an offer that's maybe even more than what the Yankees offered, because that's been the base of expectations for you from day one.
If the Mets, and they won't, but hypothetically, if the Mets ever fell short or came in far under the number and they're like, hey, we like the player, but we only like him for a shorter term, or we're not willing to go to 13, whatever. Again, I don't think that's going to happen at all.
Me neither.
That, I would lose my mind. That would be the number one.
It has to be number one for the Met fan at that point. Because everything you've said for years now about Cohen, is that would disprove that. Okay.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Dave is in Wayne. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Great dialogue. Huge Mets fan. Would love to have Soto, but I don't think he's coming here. And if you give me 20 seconds, I'll give you my thesis on how it's going to unfold.
Go for it. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. All right. Boris and Soto putting on an absolute masterclass here. They're getting multiple bidders in to drive the contract up into the stratosphere.
Yep.
Right. Yankees are going to come up, but not to the absolute highest, because the Mets, as you guys said, or another team, are going to have to go really sky high.
Mm-hmm.
But he's coming back to hit in front of a prime Aaron Judge for the next, let's say Judge is in his prime for the next 4 years.
Okay.
Soto's in the heart of his prime. He's not going to walk away from that. He's going to look good for taking a teeny bit less, albeit at an enormous groundbreaking value. The Yankees win in that they get their player and they maintain their status as the Yankees. And, you know, they've never lost a free agent star in their prime. I just think Soto is posturing just to drive up the price, just like the Yamamotos, the Trevor Bowers. I really think it's going to play out.
So you think he's staying? I mean, listen, that's very plausible. I mean, let's face it. As he sits down with Boris, let's just say their baseline number was six, right? Just say, hey, whenever, I guess 13 years, $600 million, we'll say. And they work this, which they are, and they should. And we get this team up to here. We get them here. Maybe the Mets go up to 670. And in their minds, 600 was the number, or whatever the number might be. But by playing the game properly, they get the Yankees up to 630 or 640. It's still $40 million more than what they really thought they were going to get. Now, you could say, well, if somebody comes with seven, why would you leave an extra 60 on the table? You might not, but then this is what Boris is going to have to do. He's going to be able to show him how he can monetize his brand with the Yankees versus the other teams. And there is a projectable way to do that. I don't know how to do it, but Scott Boris knows how to do it, and that might close the gap of money.
That is his job. So, look, with Scott Boris, I mean, there's a potential that whether it's the Heyman stuff that I wrote about, that I read before, that he wrote about in the New York Post Sports Plus section, whether it's other stories that are getting leaked, like, there's always going to be some angle, whether it's the team trying to do something, the player, the agent, whatever. So maybe there is something to the fact that Boris is just putting information out there that's trying to drive up the bidding. I'm sure that that's an element. I, at my core, do believe Juan Soto is more open to the Mets than just the money, but it doesn't mean that I'm right. Maybe this whole time, Soto, okay, he goes to Boris and says, I want to be a Yankee, make it happen, but get me the most money.
Yep.
And then Boris is working his magic. Let's get the Red Sox in, let's get the Blue Jays in, let's get the Mets, let's play the fiddle of the Mets, let's get some executives who think that he is going to get, whatever it may be, you just don't know. And at the end of it, Soto could be like, I wanted to be in pinstripes the whole time, and he was the number. Or it could be that he doesn't want to be with the Yankees, and he wants to be somewhere else, and he wants to go chase the most money, or maybe have more fun somewhere, or be the guy. We don't know. We're going to find out. But we don't know ultimately what Soto's thinking. Julius is in Queens. What's up, Julius?
Hey, BC and Sal. Love your show. Listening as always.
Thank you.
Sal.
Yeah.
I love your enthusiasm, bro. I really do. And I'm not going to hate, actually. I'm a diehard Yankee fan, but I'm not going to hate. I know Cohen got the most money. But the division and what divides both, I think, is going to come down to who else is going to be on each team. Both teams have a lot of spots to fill, but ultimately you got Judge batting behind them. And you can probably add in a few more pieces here and there. And then there's the fact that, let's say, sort of goes to the Mets. You still got to play against the Dodgers, so there's a roadblock against you to get to the World Series. So maybe at best they get to the LCS again. You go to the Yankees, you have a clearer path. They can get to the World Series, maybe play the Dodgers or whoever it is, but their path is pretty much set. So if your ceiling is LCS or World Series, I choose World Series all the way.
Yeah, I just don't know, though, Julius. And you make sense, and thank you for the call. Like, I know that they say, well, winning is important. Is it, though? And even if it is, there's no guarantee wherever he goes that he's going to win. He was on a loaded Padres team, and they didn't win. The Nationals team did win a World Series. The Yankees team that he goes to got to a World Series, didn't win at all. Like, there's no guarantee. We saw this with players. You know, Mike Mussina wanted to win. He came to the Yankees. Did they win a World Series? Jason Giambi, same thing. Like, so it happens before where even if you go to Gerrit Cole. I mean, has Gerrit Cole won a World Series here with the Yankees? No, he hasn't. So there's no guarantee that winning is going to happen even if you go to the most winning of franchises. I don't think you could look at it and say, well, the path right now in the American League is easier, so I'd stay with the Yankees.
Oh, that could change in a year or two.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't subscribe to that long term. Let's do this real fast here.
Yeah.
I think this is an important part of the equation. Maybe less to Soto, but I think it's certainly interesting to me. I think you'll find it interesting as well. Who's got more holes to address this offseason? So I'm going to take you around the end without the names and the numbers and, you know, they're just hitting you with a million things. Yankees need a first baseman.
Yep.
Yankees need a third baseman. I'm under the assumption Jazz goes to second.
Right.
First, third, left, or center, depending upon what they do with Soto, then obviously Judge.
Yep.
One of the two. They need a setup man because Clay Holmes will be gone. That's at least four and maybe a fifth starter. They've got some strength in numbers there. Most of the guys are under contract. That, to me, is five spots. Did I miss anything? And Stanton's going to DH, even though he'll be hurt
whatever,
for a little bit.
Yeah.
Five.
No,
does that sound about right?
I think so, yeah.
All right, so for the Yankees, there's five. For the Mets, you got to find out what's going on at first.
Yep.
I think you should address second, but McNeil's under contract, so maybe I'm off base with that.
Well, also either Acuna or Jet Williams eventually. Like, I think they're okay. Or Mauricio potentially coming back, although I don't know if he's second. I forget. I got to look up what he's doing. But either way, I think that they're
they have an answer there?
Yeah.
So like, I shouldn't put second on the list?
I wouldn't, because it's either going to be McNeil or somebody younger internally that's going to be a second baseman.
Okay. I mean, I'll give you that.
If it's not McNeil, maybe Acuna. And if it's not Acuna, then I would think Mauricio / Jet Williams, one of those two.
Fair enough.
Potentially.
All right. Now, so I'll put second. It's not a strength until it is, but right. I'll take them off the list of need. First base, center field, right field.
Marte's back, but I mean.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think.
And pitching, they need.
Well, that's where I was going. Yeah. See, there's multiple slots. I know you want to keep Manaea, and I think you'll try, but who knows?
Right.
I think Severino bounces myself, and you need setup work there. So I just, and it's not like it's overwhelmingly more Mets needs, but the Mets have more needs than the Yankees.
Because
the Yankee staff is coming back.
Yeah, well, the Mets need more pitching than the Yankees do, sure.
But, I'm saying just in terms of pure slots.
Right, but they just have, but that's, I mean, a big part of where they're at financially, where they get so much money coming off the books. Well, yeah, they're going to have to add some pitchers there. Although I would say right now, you got Senga. Oh, stupid pen's not working right. Senga.
Peterson.
Yeah.
McGill.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But the Gil guy as much. I like Peterson.
I'm writing his name down. Budo, who I forgot about. Who else? They're going to have one of those young arms are going to have to contribute at some point that they have in the minor leagues. But it's not like they're working from a barren cupboard here. You know, Senga's in place. You know, Peterson's in place. Those are two solid arms.
I like them both.
Going into next year. Budo, potentially.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Just, my only point is, think about this. So, think about who's taking the baseball down the stretch for the Mets. Quintana, going to be gone.
Yeah.
Manaea could be gone.
They might be able to
Severino
get Quintana back cheap.
Will be gone. You're talking about 60% of the starting room. The Yankees aren't looking at that.
The Mets have to add at least two starters.
At least two.
And probably three. Because they're going to
three's a lot. I don't think you need three.
Nah, they like depth. I mean, you have four here potentially with Senga, Peterson, Miguel Budo, but two of those guys are eh.
Well, that's where Bueller on that 1 year deal is nice, and you've been saying that for a while.
Manaea, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think they need to probably be seven deep if you're counting. I don't like Miguel. I want to take Miguel out of the equation.
I agree.
I'll stick with Budo, but it's going to be Budo or Miguel. I don't think you go with both of those guys. Right?
No.
Okay. So Senga, Peterson, one of Miguel and Budo. Let's say Budo. Miguel maybe move to the pen. Who the hell knows what they're going to do? But anyway, and then, yeah, I mean, Bueller, Manaea, they're going to have to find somebody else on the cheap. Maybe they trade for Jordan Montgomery. I know that's been out there.
That excites you?
You see what it does, actually.
Really?
Yeah, because I love the bounce back guy. Do you see what the D-backs owner said about him?
No. Oh, yeah, a while ago.
He basically said it was a huge mistake, and I'm the one to blame for it.
I did
because
see that.
The front office said, no, I wanted to do this. They're willing to pay some of his money down to move on from him. I think Montgomery would be a good buy. You're getting him for nothing now.
What, 1 year, 15 mil?
I think his contract is 20 million or something for this year. I'm not even sure. Maybe 22. But they're going to pay that down.
Yeah.
You take a gamble on a guy who's going to try to bounce back and then get a bigger contract. So, I mean, maybe that's a point is, I think the Mets are going to fill out the rotation. I'm not worried about that.
I'm not saying more
important needs in their lineup.
I'm not saying that they won't fill them, and I'm not even saying that how they fill it won't work. What I'm saying is they've just got more things to fill.
Yeah.
Because just in terms of guys under contract, guys not. Garrett Cole under contract, Rodon under contract, Cortez under contract, Clark Schmidt under contract, controllable. Stroman, not that makes me excited at this point, one more year under contract. Whereas the Mets just, you know, they've got to find arms, and then they've got to hope that they pop the way they did a year ago.
Yeah, we back at the Grammys, and this time I'm bringing home 3 for the family. Right.
All I know is how they keep it smooth.
BT and Sal back on the fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Have you, by the way, did you catch up on the Penguin? We were just talking about shows during the break.
Yes, I did.
That was the season finale.
Yeah, boom.
So what'd you think of that last episode?
It's okay.
Wow, you didn't love it?
I liked it.
Dude.
And I've loved the first season.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Mmm.
Is that because it wasn't favorable for your girl?
No,
what
not necessarily.
What is her name again? Sophia?
Falcone.
Falcone, okay, yeah.
No, I mean, I mean, I don't want to give stuff away when he left his brothers in the sewer.
I know, but
that
that's the
whole... interesting how that how
yeah,
he
and how he became
and how she knew
because I think like my wife and I we started watching it and we were like, oh, are we ever going to find out how he became the Penguin, or is this just, you know, whatever. We didn't know what type of show we were getting into here. Obviously, we know it's, the Batman, the Penguin, but where are we going with this? And then you do find out how he eventually took over.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, you see the...
No, I know. I know.
I mean, spoiler. You see the bat signal at the end.
I know. I like that part. I just feel like some of these situations he's gotten out of are just completely unrealistic.
Yeah, well, I mean, dude.
Well, there could be an element of reality. Even though we're talking about the Penguin.
Daredevil, true story?
I mean. Come on, man. When you're quartered and six people have guns and you have nothing, you get out of it?
How about what he did to his friend?
Yeah.
I mean, that was cold.
He is a cold, dark. And look what he did to his brothers.
You guys watch this? Boyle or Hoff, you watch the Hoff, this is up your alley. No, you're not a Batman guy? Or a Penguin guy? I can't hear you. Mike's either.
Turn the mic on, buddy.
I'm trying to get my headphones
on. Okay,
Of course. No, I just watched the other day. That just finished up that and this
series called From, but Penguin is so good. I cannot wait. I suppose it's going to have attachments to the movie now, the new film that's coming out. It's going to be awesome.
How many seasons can they squeeze out of that?
Three.
The Penguin?
Definitely three?
I think definitely three.
The Penguin?
Yeah.
And where do we go? Do we ever have him meet the Batman?
You better. Be a payoff.
Did you see the last scene?
Yeah,
I did. That's what we're just saying.
You were on the phone. We said that.
Did you hear us talk about the last scene?
No, we're doing the show. Aaron Hernandez.
Boy, are you into this show, or are you just too in love with your girlfriend currently?
Yeah, he is
in love with her. I was laughing at you guys, calling out your wives. Yeah. Meanwhile, I had two meals cooked for me yesterday.
Yeah, wait till you get married.
Enjoy them now.
No, do you watch The Penguin?
I have not yet, but I've been dying to start.
Okay.
It, so.
There you go. It's on the list. Boy,
dude,
I know you're
single.
Busy.
I mean, what are you waiting for?
Well, that's what I'm saying. No kids. He's hanging out with his,
what else yoga
instructor. Yeah, I don't want to do. Boy, oh, you. BT and Sal on the fan. 888-808-1019. Jeff is in Manhattan. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
What's up, Jeff?
Listen, guys. My opinion, I think Soto is going back to the Yankees. I mean, I'm from the DR. I mean, he loves it there. He's a very proud guy. I mean, he wants to be like the best Dominican player that played in the major leagues.
So why can't he do that with another team?
Because he loves the Yankees. And mind you, I'm a Yankees fan, but guess what? I don't want the Yankees to sign him. We have too many holes, man. We have too many holes. And you know what? With Soto, it's going to be the same thing as last year. We don't have a third baseman. We don't have a first baseman. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like it's not going to make a difference. I mean, we have too many holes to fill.
Right, but if you lose Soto, don't you have additional holes to fill?
But more resources to fill.
Yeah, but with that, all that money is going to be left over. We could plug those holes, and it'll be a more complete team. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm trying to say.
I do. I say the same thing. Not that I want that, but I'm open to it.
Yeah, I understand what you're trying to say. I just disagree with what you're saying. I think the Yankees need to do both. I mean, the reality is the Yankees need more. Both the Mets and Yankees, we make it about Soto. But they both need more than just Soto. In the Yankees' case, it can't just be, well, bring Soto back and that's a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's got to be bring Soto back and then what? How are you going to get the team better? And I don't want to hear about Caleb Durbin or Dominguez or Wells or they're going to rely on these young guys, but that's nice. You don't have to rely on all of those young guys. So it should be minimum for the Yankees. The puzzle would be for me, BT, Soto, and either Adames or Soto and, I guess, Walker at first base. Like, they need that type of addition in addition to bringing back Juan Soto.
Yeah, I don't think the Adames thing's going to happen because he's going to get 6, maybe even 7 years. I don't think the Yankees will do that with him. And I've always said with Walker, it's 2 years with an option, maybe 3 straight up max. But, listen, if you tell me, and I know this still needs to show growth here, but on opening day, if it's Volpe batting first, Soto batting second, Judge batting third, Christian Walker batting 4, Jazz Chisholm batting 5, Austin Wells batting 6, Stanton 7, or some variation of Stanton somewhere in there, and then Dominguez, I'll roll with that. Like, to me, that's a great offseason.
Elijah's in Flushing. What's up, Elijah?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
How are you?
All right.
All right. So I got a little bit of a hypothetical for you, BT, and then we can flip it for Sal, too, if you guys are really interested.
Yeah, let's play a game. Let's go, man. What do you got?
All right. So if you could push a button and you could take the Yankees organization, called the Yankees in the Bronx, but give them the Mets players, the Mets front office, the Mets owner, and the farm, would you push that button for from here on out?
No.
Or would you keep what you got?
No. I would be more tempted to push it maybe than I've ever been, but no. Because the farm system that you speak of, you know, I I know he flashed as a rookie. I got to see something from Alvarez. Beatty fizzled out. I think Mauricio's interesting, but he's hurt. Gilbert has no power. Not that he can't be good, but he doesn't hit in the minors yet. He's hitting 220 in the fall league. I checked it out the other day. Like, this great Mets system where's Daryl Strawberry?
Yeah, well, we got to see.
Where's Daryl?
I do think they have some young. I mean, again, who the hell knows? I mean, hey, look, we didn't think, or at least I didn't think, that Mark Vientos was going to be any good. Because I heard that from people within the Mets, and they're, forget about even what you hear, their actions were saying, we don't believe in Vientos. Forget about even prior to this year, during this year.
Yeah.
Multiple times, their actions showed you they don't believe in Vientos. And then when he finally got the opportunity, he made it impossible for them to take him out of the lineup to a point where now we all believe he's a legitimate star offensive player and a more than serviceable corner infielder, whether it's going to be a third or eventually at first base if they move on from Pete. So Spencer Jones last year. Everybody was talking about Spencer Jones going to be great. And now all of a sudden it's Spencer Jones not that good. With the prospects, who knows? So the point is, BT, we could look at the Mets farm system and say, we think one thing, but you have no idea. Nobody talked about Acuna being a legitimate player. Then I watched him play, and I'm like, geez.
Yeah.
Bull jumps off this guy's bat.
And we said that, little life in his hands.
He looks like he belongs. Uh-huh. And who knows? I mean, maybe he's not a good – it's still a long way to go.
Think about what we said Dominguez, though, after the first 8 games. So this is just a very unpredictable ride. Listen, as per Vientos, he's going to be hitting 2 through 5 for the next 7-8 years, maybe more, for the Mets, unless they decided to trade him for an all-timer, which I don't think that they will do, nor do I necessarily think that they should. I think that that was a good question, because there's a lot of people down on, even though they got to the World Series, you know, Boone being brought back probably as a lame duck, Cashman with the extension, Hal talking about the luxury tax versus the new, or at least somewhat new with certainly new with Mendoza and new with Stearns, somewhat new with Cohen, the shiny new object where they're coming off this fun year, the energies in Queens. I think if I strip away the emotion, right, and I just kind of look at it, and I would still say the Yankees, but I do think it's as close in terms of answering his hypothetical question, like for the last 10, 12, 15, forever, I would have never even been tempted to thinking about saying maybe it's the Mets button to hit.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
Well, to me, the Mets need that star to be legitimized. Also, there is the, like, and you say take away the emotion or whatever, the fan aspect of it, but there is that part of it where it is an entertainment business as well. The Mets fan has not had a signing of the guy. Like, yeah, Scherzer and Verlander were fun, but it's different. Those were guys that were past their prime. Like, this is a superstar player in the prime of his career and an offensive player, not just a pitcher. This is the guy for the Mets to go all in for. BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. I want to get to the boxing match tonight, BT, but before we do that real quick, George in the Bronx wants to check in on the Penguin. George, you had an issue with the Penguin last night?
Well, no, I like what you said. By the way, I love you guys' show. Listen every day.
Thanks,
I don't like the Penguin. I just watched it because of Sophia, to be honest with
Falcone.
You. The way they killed people was awesome, but I didn't like it.
Okay.
I'm not a comic guy. You know what I mean? I don't like Marvel comics anyway.
Well, I'm not a big comic guy myself either.
Yeah,
I didn't
me
read comics, and thank you for the call, George.
Thanks,
I appreciate you checking in.
I like Mob Ties. I like, you know, Batman.
I love Penguin's
an extension of Batman. The characters are great.
I wasn't like, did you watch the show Gotham when that was out?
No.
I did. Did you guys watch that?
I loved it. Actually, you should ride home with Jada Pinkett Smith every week.
What do you mean?
She used to be on the subway. We took the one together after Steve Summers' show.
Get out of here.
Swear to God.
Jada,
every Monday, I'd drive her right home and she'd be there.
I was a big Jada fan, you know, until the Will stuff happened.
Nah, it got a little weird.
I know, but I'm a big Will guy. Anyway, I mean, whatever. With the Batman stuff, I love. So I'm not a big comic guy, but I do think the show has been great. Tonight, there's a huge boxing match taking place.
Mm-hmm.
Are you into it? You'd be watching?
I am. I saw Jake Paul get smacked by Tyson at the weigh-in or the final thing there.
So fake, though, those things.
Yeah, I hear you.
What kind of Iron Mike we getting? Like, you're old enough to really...
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I remember growing up, my father used to make a big deal. We'd have the neighbors over, my uncle come over.
Yeah, so do we.
We'd watch those big matches, boxing matches on the pay-per-view. I loved it.
Oh, Tyson.
And then the heavyweight division got away from it, so whatever. But even when Tyson came back, remember when he fought Peter McNeely?
I do, of course,
Yeah, but like, he was never Mike again.
Once he came out of jail, the skills a little diminished. That Peter McNeely fight, McNeely cashed in. I think it was Domino's or one of these, pizza... He's Peter McNeely's doing a commercial and he's getting off the stool and he's holding a slice of pizza and he like goes to put it in his mouth and he hits his chin and he knocks himself out. Oh my God.
He wanted no part of Mike Tyson.
Would you back then?
No.
I'd run from him. I mean, he's thin, like he's not thick.
Right. He looked
Jake
ripped.
Paul looked thicker, actually, than I thought, like in his back and his shoulders, whatever. Tyson's got the hammer still. You don't forget how to punch. But I think, listen, the question is, should Tyson even, he's 58. And boxing's a young man's game.
58.
He's 58 years old.
I know, but he looks incredible.
I know he does.
58-year-old could still knock somebody out.
Yeah, in a street fight, in a bar. I mean, Jake Paul can box a little bit.
And I think Jake Paul's actually an underrated, good boxer.
I do, too.
Now,
how old is he? 30? I don't even know how old he is.
He didn't fight Mayweather, did he? Jake Paul? Is this like
Logan Paul did. His brother
his
did. Exhibition nonsense.
Now I'm confused.
Because you had Connor.
Which one's the wrestler?
Logan.
So he's a wrestler and a boxer?
He came up in the boxing world, did a lot of exhibition fights, and then went to WWE.
And this guy, this is Jake, right?
Jake Paul. Jake's been beating people for a while. So he's fairly legitimate.
Legitimate boxer.
I think so.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he beat a bunch of former UFC fighters.
He's tough.
Tyron Woodley was a former UFC champion.
He beat Woodley?
Jake Paul knocked him out.
My problem here, BT.
In a boxing match or a UFC style?
No, boxing.
Gotcha.
My problem is that I feel, we know this is an exhibition.
Yeah.
And I don't, if I want to watch wrestling, I'll watch wrestling. If I want to watch boxing, I want a legitimate competition.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be disappointed in turning this on and getting excited about it, but seeing
the nostalgia?
No, like a fake fight.
I don't think it's going to be fake.
Here's the problem. In real competition, what made Iron Mike Tyson so great is he wanted to rip your heart out,
mm-hmm.
eat it, and feed it to your children.
He literally said that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he wanted to do. That's how he wanted to knock your head off. And now it's he got paid. He doesn't care to fight. I want to see those two guys hate each other, trying, and not that I need to see the violence, but that's what boxing and competition is about. Not just sparring. I don't need to see that.
Well, I mean, listen, this is really a good example of what the sports world's become. And it's a hybrid between competition and celebrity. And, Paul is a guy who's got a ton of traction, social media-wise. Yep. I think he can fight enough where it's going to be interesting. I know he can fight, so it's going to be interesting.
People are going to be watching. They're going to watch tonight.
Yeah. I'm very curious about this. The thing about if it gets stretched out, how many rounds off is it? It's not a legitimate 10 rounds. How many rounds?
Eight 2-minute rounds.
Eight 2 minutes.
Can you bet on this?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So actually, I believe that Paul is putting all $40 million on himself. I read that very quick. Yeah, I believe he's betting his entire purse on himself. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, I saw that real quick. I didn't dive into the article. I saw that on social media.
Well, I respect that if that's the case.
So do I. Now,
who would you bet on? What are the odds? Can you guys look up
Jake Paul's -210.
Wow. You know what I don't want to see?
I got to take Tyson.
But here's what's going to happen, all right? Tyson's going to come out, and he's going to explode for the first 30 seconds.
And then just be gassed.
Then he's going to be gassed, and Paul's going to stretch him out a little bit and dance and show off and be himself and then land a few, obviously, because he could fight and he could punch. And then when it's over, there's a respectful hug, and it's all good. And I don't even know if Tyson gets knocked out. And I don't want to see Mike Tyson get knocked out. I mean, would anybody want to see Hank Aaron at the age of 58 getting into the batter's box against Nolan Ryan throwing 101?
Right,
no. Who the hell wants to see that?
Right.
There is an element of danger, which I'm going to suspend for now because, hey, your own volition, you're getting into the ring. If you decide to do it, you know what the consequences are potentially, and they could be very bad. I do think this is going to be pretty real, and I do think that it's going to be strung along for a little bit, but I think Jake Paul's going to win.
I'll be into it.
I'm rooting for Tyson.
That's why I want to bet on Tyson. I know you shouldn't bet with your heart, but in this particular case, if I want to enjoy myself, when was the last time you watched a legitimate boxing match?
It's been a long time. I got the Conor McGregor.
Floyd Mayweather?
I got that fight. That was years.
Almost 10 years now, I think.
We were still in our condo. That's before we moved to where we are.
Was that 2015? Maybe that was
2017. It was 2 days before my kid was born.
2017 that was?
Yeah. I was supposed to go out there to Vegas.
Who was the one before that? Did McGregor have two big fights?
No, McGregor only had one big boxing.
There was one big one in 2015 that I remember because I was looking.
Was that the Pacquiao Mayweather?
Oh, maybe.
Yes.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah,
right.
Rob Pacquiao.
Good call.
Oh, my God.
All right, so then
it's been a while. I used to love the fight game, but there's nothing to grant. I mean,
I got into Tyson Fury.
Oh, me too.
And then who was he fighting, though? Was it Bones Jones, or is that a UFC?
No, Jones Bones, UFC.
Francis Ngannou.
Who's the dude that Gio loved?
The
wasn't
the Fury.
Wasn't there a guy that Gio loved?
Yes.
Oh, Deontay Wilder.
Yeah, yes. There you go, Deontay Wilder.
They had at least two fights. I think they may have had a third. Matter of fact.
They tied one of them. Fury won the last two.
That's right. And Fury is sick. We were in the Bahamas, Jen and I, at Bahamar. It's phenomenal. And that's where I watched the first Fury fight. And if I have my timeline lined up, I'm pretty sure, because I watched it in the sports book at Bahamar, it was right before COVID. Because when we got back from the Bahamas, COVID basically had everything shut down. And here I am playing blackjack every night with the chips in front of me and fondling the chips and this and that. But that's where I used to really, really love boxing.
No, just I've never
fondling the chips.
I've never.
Yeah, I could think of it, but I didn't fondle them.
When I hear fondling,
this is a weird word to use. I don't know. It just came to my mind. You know what I mean? Where you make that click noise and roll them back and forth.
Yep.
And I used to love to. I remember
kind of jingle them a little bit, right?
Jingle a little bit of everything. And I remember when I was young, we actually watched in my basement the Buster Douglas Tyson fight. My dad paid for it. My buddy Pat, Timmy, and me. And I don't think there was a fourth there, but we watched that. I was into it.
I
used to love my grandfather watched it, ABC on Saturdays. Like, it was great.
Do you remember?
Stinks now.
Do you remember? So Saturday night's main event, which by the way is coming up December 14th. Looking forward to that.
Are we definitely going to that?
I believe. We're
still waiting on those seats?
No. I believe we were going. I'm waiting for confirmation. I believe we were going. And hopefully we have somebody in studio to promote it that week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping to get Jesse Ventura, but I have no idea if he's going to
be
there.
Sick.
Anyway, I believe Mike Tyson was scheduled to appear on Saturday night's main event like that next week. But because he lost, they ended up having Buster Douglas.
I don't remember that.
He was a special guest referee.
Was he really?
Yeah, Tyson. Yeah, you could look into that. Or we could look at during the break. But
really?
I'm pretty sure it was Macho Man. I don't know if it was Hogan.
Was that like the George Animal Steel?
Was that 89, Buster Douglas and Tyson?
Hold on. I'm trying to think. I'm high school, this, when they came over.
God, I remember the Buster Douglas Sega Genesis game. What year was that?
Sounds 90? Right.
February 90, okay.
And
February
90.
February 1990. Yeah, so I believe one of those February shows.
I was in Tokyo.
Yes.
Stunner. We were
absolute
stunned.
Stunner. Right? Like, not even worth really watching. Buster Douglas' mom passed away, he was emotional.
Yeah.
And then how fat he got afterward.
He just stopped training. Like, he had his moment, and there's no way you're going to top that, and he just kind of cashed out.
He hit the jack pocket. That was it.
Yeah.
Tyson got caught, man. He wasn't paying attention.
Tyson took him for granted. He got clipped.
And then once you get knocked out,
mm-hmm.
everything changes
from there.
It does,
because now you're not invincible. Now guys think that they can do the same. And there's just more positivity and belief in how they train and when they train and how they study you, how they view you. Everything changes psychologically.
That's why tonight, while I will watch it as well, and there will be nostalgia behind it, it's tough because we remember Mike Tyson one way, and he hasn't been that way in quite some time. But you know, like the nostalgia in you, the kid in you, Mike Tyson, you know you're not getting that though tonight. That's my issue.
No, I know. Yeah, I mean, would you want to watch Michael Jordan do a dunk contest on an 8-foot rim tonight? No, but you'd watch it.
Yeah, but we're watching.
But
right.
You'd watch
right.
it.
You could, you, right. We're all going to watch, which is why they're doing it.
Can I just throw two names out there? Bernard Hopkins.
Hopkins, the executioner. Loved him.
I used to love him, too.
His last fight got knocked out of the ring. And same thing with Evander Holyfield. Fought Vitor Belfort and some league or whatever 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Got knocked out basically out of the ring, too.
Remember, wasn't there a mess in the ring? Remember when Riddick Bowe at the Garden?
Yeah, that was
Riddick Big Daddy? Was that his name? Riddick Big Daddy Bowe? I don't know why I'm thinking of that. But anyway, Riddick Bowe.
He's probably Big Daddy. Yeah, he seems like a Big Daddy.
I liked Holyfield. I liked Lennox Lewis. Even OJ.
Yeah, it took me a little while to warm up to Lennox Lewis, but I think he was underappreciated.
George was my favorite.
George Foreman. I liked Ray Mercer. He had a good jab.
Yeah.
Stiff jab.
I just remember George, my father was like, you know, because George was relatable. Old guy coming in with the gut. Uh-huh. My father loved it. Like, oh, he's an old man. He's going to show them what's up.
Yeah.
And he did.
He didn't have the gut when he was young. Yeah, go back to some of those looking fine on YouTube in the 70s. He was absolutely yoked. The Olympics. Are
dude,
you kidding me? George Foreman?
I love those. Him and Joe Frazier, battles. I can't get enough of those. All right.
I don't want to stop talking boxing.
This is fun. We just tapped into something. Hey, we'll watch it tonight and then we'll talk about it maybe Monday.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network. Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.